Hi, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told, Transformation. Sharing tools for transformation to live your highest truth. This is one of my favorite subjects to talk about, crystals. Welcome, Pamela Chen.
Hi.
How are you doing? You've got a new book out, right? Enchanted Crystal Magic.
Yes. Ooh, there's my book. Yes. I'm so excited to be able to share all of the crystal spells and rituals with everyone.
Congratulations. So when did you get your first crystal and what was it?
Oh, you know what? Like the first crystal, I don't remember because I think I just went into some metaphysical store and I picked out, you know, the cheapest, smallest crystal out there. So I don't remember what it was, but I do remember the crystal that really made me believe in magic, which was a smoky citrine tower. So my best friend actually gave it to me for my birthday. And I remember at the time, it was over 15 years ago, I was doing like readings. And so these readings came from my phone. So I would put the citrine on my phone. And that week I had like 10 new clients come in, which, you know, back then there's no social media marketing. So I didn't know how I got these clients. And when it happened, we were like, oh, it's the crystal. And so after that, we were like, crystal magic works.
Yay, bravo. All right, let me ask a couple questions about that. First of all, tell me about citrine specifically. Our audience is on YouTube as well as the other podcast channels, so we're describing it, but it's golden, right? It's known to be a prosperity stone, correct?
Yes. So I actually have a citrine tower with me.
Okay.
They can see it. So this is a citrine tower from Brazil. It's a clear, pale yellow color. So that's when you know it's a clear citrine. If it comes in like a cluster and it is orange or dark red or yellow, that's actually amethyst heat treated to be citrine color. So that's not like a real citrine because citrine doesn't grow like that. I like to work with both. Sometimes I am drawn to the heat treated one, which is okay. I think it's just basically the energy of the crystal that you're working with. But for money and prosperity, for my spells, I do like working with the real one. I feel like it's a little bit more powerful connection for me.
No, I understand that. That's great. And thank you for describing it because I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners know about crystals and you're taking it, you're giving us a little bit more specific. So I appreciate kind of a general overview, but as well as, you know, perhaps a more sophisticated sharing of your knowledge here. So tell us again, how you did, what that first manifestation was. Did you say that you put your crystal by your phone? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, I actually put it on my phone. I put it on top, like it was a tower like this, and I put it directly on my phone overnight. And that was all I did. And it just, every night, I think it was like every night that week. And I was just called to do so. I don't know why. Later, maybe it was 5 years ago when I was at like a retreat with a lot of entrepreneurs and my roommates, I told them about this story and I gave them all citrines for a present. And so they all put their crystals on their phone that night. And I think one girl got like a $10,000 sale and another girl got like 5 or 10 clients enrolled that night. It was like crazy.
This is magic. I love it because, you know, I mean, Pamela, you're giving me like so much encouragement and I love crystals. So don't give me a reason to go shopping. But, you know, my understanding was pretty much the crystals would be amplifying the intention. But
yes.
It seems to me that you're sharing that really, truly it was having the crystal, beholding it, loving it, enjoying it, right? I mean, certainly knowing what you need in your life, always coming at it in a positive way, not in a fearful lack kind of way. But it doesn't sound like you actually said, okay, I'm very specifically going to use the crystal, put it on my phone and expect this result. It sounds like it was a more general, loving, positive vibe. And there was a laser focus maybe that crystal brought through.
Yeah, you know, I do teach manifesting, especially manifesting money, and I do like it when, when I get my students actually is to be really clear on what they're manifesting, like exactly their big picture. But I think the most important thing is like the feeling you have when you get that thing. Like, what are you feeling? And that's what you embody now to receive it. So like you're in the same frequency. So I think what a crystal does is it instantly connects you to the frequency because it's already vibrating at where your desires are, and it helps you like pull it in faster. And like you said, fun, having a lot of fun. I think everybody was just like really curious and open to like opportunities. They were like, hey, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, nothing happens, right? Like they didn't really invest anything in it. So it was like the open to possibilities and kind of believing magic.
Talk to me a little bit about your understanding of magic. A lot of times people feel, if you don't mind my quick descriptor, a lot of times people feel that there has to be a process with that. So do you find that to be the case? Help me help me with your definition.
I feel like magic is really intention, and we're just drawing the energies, the natural energies that's already there, and we're bringing it into our physical reality. And I do like to do rituals and spells and have a system for it so that it really grounds me and makes everything real. Because if you only have an intention, if you only have a dream and you just kind of leave it up there, sometimes it is really hard for, normal people to believe that it can ha actually happen. But if you teach them how to like create a spell, light this candle, put this crystal by it, and then hold on to the crystal, then that gives them like something, step one, two, and three. And step four is like, hey, your wish is manifested. So I think that it's more of a system for people to believe that they can create magic.
Yeah, I love that. So using crystals, because I personally like to work with candles a lot. So I'd like to, but using crystals, I don't. I mean, I often have a crystal. In fact, I wanted to show you that I brought one of a new crystal that was just given to me for my birthday. So I don't know if you can see it, but it's a selenite, and it's got like a really cool. It's
Wow.
yeah, isn't that interesting? I've never actually seen a cut like this before, and so I just it's almost like a it's like a pet. I mean, it's like a little comfort, right? I mean, you hear about worry stones. And I had a friend recommend to me that I just had a recent breakup and to have rose quartz. She's like, you might want to work with rose
Yes.
quartz. And which is, I mean, I feel like that's crystal 101. So I know I'm not saying anything too profound, but I do think, it's kind of nice when one uses crystals. So the reason I want to ask you this thing is that I'm showing you, I think I feel like I'm sharing some examples of. You're trying to use the crystal to get you through maybe a problem, right? It's a crutch is maybe, and I know that's a little bit of a negative word, but I feel like what you're describing here is these crystals really come almost as an activator and not something that's going to clear or smooth a situation.
Yeah, I mean they can clear. They could definitely clear
Yeah.
energies. They can definitely help you, get past where you are being stuck at. But I think they do it in like a very natural way. So you do have to take action though. So we can't just, get this crystal and hold on to it and do nothing. Then nothing is going to happen. But if you do get a crystal and if you do get an idea, and that's your intuitive download, right? Like for me, it was like, hey, put your crystal on your phone. I didn't know where it came from. It's not logical. And when it's not logical, it comes from your intuition. So you have to be aware of that. And when you follow it, you can see the miracles and the magic happen.
That's so great. No, I just really, really like that. And I was thinking, I actually put rose quartz in my bed.
Yeah, perfect.
It's smooth. Don't worry. It's not, I didn't roll over on a crunchy rock. But I think that, I think it's a great way to use it and to be familiar. Now, let me ask you another question about stones, because you brought up the smoky, right? And
Yes.
a smoky quartz. So I have a friend and she had a very darkly smoky quartz, And she has left it out in the sun, but I know she's been working on it to help some transformational work. And she's a powerful, powerful healer, wise woman. And I got to tell you, it's not smoky anymore. It's gone really clear. So have you ever seen that?
Yeah. So a lot of stones, if they are really colorful, like a deep dark purple for amethyst or even the smoky, if you do leave it in the sun, it does take away the color. I have to say, though, because, you know, I go to the shows and stuff and I talk to the dealers and they'll tell you when you buy it. So there was an Arkansas. Actually, I have the crystal here. So it's really small, though. So this is from an Arkansas mine, and this is a very dark smoky, but it's actually clear quartz that they inject a color into it. So this isn't really smoky, but it is smoky.
Yeah.
So a lot of the really, really dark, really nice smoky that we love is not natural black color.
Okay, there you go. Well, let's talk about some other stones out there that you work with.
Yes, I work with, so right now, I actually love working with apophyllite. So apophyllite is one of my, there's many types of apophyllite. This is like green apophyllite.
Okay.
And I just love working with apophyllite because I'm trying to get lucid dreaming right now. I'm working with my dreams, and that really helps, you know, protects you. And it really helps with like the astral travel and going into dreams. So I always think of what is my intention right now? What am I working on my spiritual path? And then I kind of go around and I see which crystal calls out to me and I'll work with that crystal. And so when I do look it up or when I do, if I don't already know the meaning, it's so funny because it's like the meaning that I need for what I'm working on now. So I tend to let the crystal guide me, find me, and then I will research it.
Bravo. How do you work with it as far as lucid dreaming? Do you put it in your bed too?
I do. I have to tell you a story. It's so funny because so I was going to a presentation in Jersey and I was staying at this hotel and the girl, one of the assistants told me that that's actually a haunted hotel. And she said on the fifth floor by the staircase. And that was my room. So I was like, oh no. And I had a selenite with me, not as beautiful as yours, but I had a little selenite that I carry with me whenever I travel. And I slept with it. But I, you know, I told the spirits, I'm just staying here for a couple of nights. I won't bother you. Please don't bother me. And nothing happened, but I was just like, just in case.
Hey, right? No, I think that's really, really great. Good job. And thanks for the recommendation because it's good. I definitely travel with crystals too. I usually like to have just a small one in my pocket. I don't think I have one today. I just brought this big one, but I tend to, actually I've been working, it's funny because one of the stones that I work with a lot is a labradorite. And that is a stone that is known for transformation, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And here I am with a show called Transformation.
Yeah. Wow. You know, for a month, I couldn't remember the name of labradorite. It was so weird.
I wonder what was going on.
It just like left me and I was like, what is going on? But at the same time, I found moldavite. Have you worked with moldavite yet?
A long time ago. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a very, very interesting stone. Tell me your experience.
So we went to the crystal show in Denver to buy crystals for our crystal boutique online. And we saw like, you know, this moldavite ring and one of our clients were looking for it. So I was like trying it on for her, taking pictures, and it actually was vibrating on my hand. And I'm like, wow, this stone is so powerful. It's not the most beautiful stone.
Right. Yeah.
So I wasn't really called to it. And I was like, wow, but it called to me at that time. I was like, wow. So even my business partner put it on. She's like, wow, my hand is like shaking. And so I got a ring and I was wearing it for a while. And you know what? My life turned upside down. So if you're ready for a big transformation, I mean, it's going to take you to places that you're supposed to go, but you might go kicking and screaming. That really happened within like a couple months. It happened. And then I lost it. I lost the ring for a while. Mm-hmm. It actually turned up in Hawaii in my bag last month. And my friend was talking about she wants to transform. And I was like, I think this is meant for you. So I gave her the ring.
Wow, that's great. Now, I want to let people know, and please chime in here. Moldavite comes from the region in Czechoslovakia, correct? Where there was a meteor blast at one point. So what's your understanding of what Moldavite actually is?
So actually, it's very rare now because TikTok blew it up.
Ruh-roh,
So
yeah.
everybody was like, I need Moldavite. So the prices did go up. It became really rare. And the government actually controls the caves, because we talked to a couple of the dealers there, and they said because they didn't want to overmine, they actually closed some of the caves, and that's also why the prices went up. So I've actually went to a place in Japan, and there was like a mini temple. I don't know what temple it was, but it was built on a Moldavite hill. So when I went into the temple, and I was just sitting there, and it was telling me that it was coming to Earth to remind us of our soul gifts, of like our soul gifts and where we are supposed to be, and like, our purpose, like driving us towards our purpose. So that was the trans that's what the whole transformation is about, is what I received.
That's great. Now I had it a long time ago, and I remember reading. It was just a tiny piece as part of a jewelry with a quartz and a regulated quartz, and it was. I remember hearing kind of the otherworldly aspects of it and how that felt very resonant for me at the time. And it was. It's pretty. I mean, it's a pale green. So let me ask you in terms of that, Pamela. A lot of times we associate the colors of this the crystal with the colors of the chakras, correct? So, would you say in that instance of what your experience with Moldavite, just as a general example, not to get too specific on this one stone, would you say that some of the transformation that you experienced was in the around?
So green is the heart chakra,
Right.
and probably it was because it was really my desires that I was scared to show up in my life. So it really was my deepest desire. I didn't say yes to it yet. So I think it was like moving me to say yes to what I really wanted.
Okay, well, yeah, there you go. No, it's interesting, and we look forward to hearing how it goes with your friend.
Oh yes, I'm excited. I'm like really, well, actually, well, we don't know her, so it's okay. But so it happened 2/22, around that time. So this whole thing, and we also did like a ritual, 'cause and she wanted a second baby, and she just told me she's pregnant. So
Oh my God, congrats. Oh, that's so beautiful. No, this is really exciting. Okay, well, let's talk about some more stones, please. What's another favorite?
Of course, one of my favorite is amethyst. So I feel like it is a really easy beginner stone for everyone because you can find it anywhere. And it just does so many things. It's a protection stone. It's a in you know opens up your intuition, your psychic abilities. It works with your vision and your third eye. It helps you get sober. I never tried that yet, but it's supposed that's like one of what they said the magical properties are. And I did try this, is if you have a headache, you can take a crystal, you could take an amethyst tower and just like put it in the middle of your forehead, and when you lie down, and I just imagine the pain shooting out of it, and that has worked for me and my clients.
That's great, because I wanted to ask you in all these different ways of using it. I mean, you and I have spoken about like, oh, maybe we put a crystal in our bed, or I have it in my pocket, or just as a reminder about something. But in that instance, you gave a very specific laying on that particular spot. So, say if you if how would you if you were going to advise somebody that wanted to use amethyst to help them as they were working towards sobriety, or I don't know if you how you just phrased it, a drinking problem or whatever, just to get healthy. How would you recommend somebody use a crystal in that way?
So actually, they can, this is just what came up to me. They can do, I would do a moon water. So I would create an amethyst crystal grid, which I have in my book, around a glass of water that you sit out under, I would say, the full moon, because you are releasing, and just let that charge and put your hands over it that night and say what your intention is. And just let that charge overnight. And then in the morning, you can bring it in right before the sun gets super hot, so your amethyst doesn't lose color. And then you can, during the month, the 2 weeks, a month, you can drink that water. And every time you're drinking the water, you're infusing your cells, your body, your energy, your intention. And of course, not you can't just like drink the water, but you have to also have like a plan, a strategy to reach your goals.
Bravo. Yeah, no, I love that. And I because I was going to ask you, it's funny you should give that example. I was going to ask you about infusing water with crystals. And why don't we do that more often, you know?
No, that's a good question. Yeah, I like to I don't because it is porous, so sometimes there are germs in it. I like to you in order to infuse a water, I did give you two different ways to do it. One is direct, which is make sure that you clean your crystal first, then put it in, or you can put a glass with the crystal and then water outside of the glass in a bowl. And
Right.
that way the crystal energy will still be infused in the water.
That makes sense. And I've actually seen they've got some really cool water bottles now that look like
Yes.
that. And I have wondered, I'm like, why do they have the crystals within that little glass? And I mean, obviously, I mean, it's going to protect the crystal better, but I love hearing from you. It's like, no, there's still emanation there that's happening to the
Yeah.
water. So how long do you, okay, so you gave the example of a of creating moon water and letting it soak overnight, but if somebody wanted to try this and just put a quartz crystal in a glass of water, I mean, one, what do you think? And two, how long? Or, you know, I like definitely be sure, like we want to be crystal clear
Crystal
on
clear.
what we're asking for and why we're doing this, right?
Yes. So I would not really suggest you to just put a crystal in your water because it can have germs on it. So unless you want to like boil your crystal first, which I don't want to, I would again put it in the glass first. And or and if you don't want to get a whole water bottle, I've seen people sell these crystal straws. So it's like a glass straw with crystals inside, or a stirrer, and you can just like put that in your glass. And I like to say for at least 30 minutes to infuse the energy. And yeah, make sure you do have some kind of direction for, your water to go. Like, why are you doing this? What is the outcome? And that will empower and amplify the magic of the crystal water even more.
That's great. All right, next stone. Pick one. Pick a stone, any stone.
Oh, carnelian. I
Okay.
have a carnelian. Mine is a heart carnelian, and it has become very popular recently also because it does work with creativity. It's for having self-confidence. It's a very fiery because it's red, right? It's a very fiery energy that you can work with. It helps you take action. So if you ever are procrastinating, I like to give my clients the carnelian, or if they just need a little bit boost of confidence to do anything, whatever that they are desiring to do, then I would say keep a carnelian. I like to tell them to keep it in their bra if they have a bra.
I love it.
So not this big though.
I know. Hey, maybe it might work for some people. It might actually look good. But that's great. Now, the carnelian's really pretty and it's opaque. It's not a clear. A lot of times we think of crystals as being translucent. So,
Have this
right.
one.
That is a carnelian. Wow, that's
It's
epic.
huge, right?
Yeah, that is unbelievable. I feel that even through the camera.
Ooh, yeah, I love, this one. I just like to like how you're holding yours. Sometimes when I am doing speaking, if I'm speaking to a lot of people online or coaching, then I'll grab this just to like ground myself in.
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely. So carnelian, I'm a fan. Thanks for reminding me. So now is that okay? So that I'm going to default back to chakras here. So that
Sacral.
is first and second, okay? Kind of you're
Yeah.
thinking more second chakra.
Yes. You can also
For
use it for first. I feel like sometimes it does get you more active, so you're not as grounded in the root as you can be. So I like to go with the sacral, and it really does help with like creative ideas.
Right.
If you want to birth new things and you need just kind of like a little bit of help, then I like to keep carnelian by me.
Okay, wow, that is just a great, great stone. And where did you find that one?
This one, I think it was this one was a couple shows ago, and we were just walking around, and carnelian is selling out too because of social media. Someone posted, carnelian's great for, sexual energy relationships. So that blew up, and it was sold out. It was sold out, and this was like one of the only carnelians that we could find. And I'm like, I'm taking this.
That
I'm
is
keeping it.
crazy. I love it. I love it. I love that people are using these tools. I mean, it's incredible. So let's go to quartz. Let's go to the beautiful, beautiful quartz crystal. So
Ooh,
how do
I'm
you
actually
work with
going.
quartz?
Yeah, I'm going to show you this one. So this is a Lemurian quartz. So
Oh,
it's
yes,
a
it
you can
is.
tell if it's Lemurian because it has, I don't know if you can see it, but it's more flat here.
Okay.
So supposedly Lemurian quartz has a Lemurian energy, which if you know Atlantis is sort of like Atlantis energy, that lost city energy in Lemuria. But quartz is like the master healer. It amplifies the energies of any other crystals that you are working with. You can also use it as a substitute for any crystal. So it's kind of like a white candle. Say, I need rose quartz for love, but I don't have it. Then I can grab a clear quartz and be like, okay, so program it to be a rose quartz, and then it could emanate that energy.
Oh, that's so great. Okay. Wow, that's a great little detail, a way to you work with quartz. I really, really like that. And it's beautiful, and even just a small piece, can be really amplified. So,
Yeah,
amen
it's
to
super
that.
beautiful.
Okay, I mean, there's a million stones to talk about. I showed you my selenite. So, what do you know about this stone?
I love working with selenite. I have just a raw one that I keep by my
Yes.
computer
Okay.
because it's great for business communications.
Okay. Right
Yeah,
on.
it's great for business communications. It is also connect with the moon, so really feminine, empowered energy. If you have, so I have a slab, but if you put crystals on top of selenite, it can also charge the crystals. So
Right.
you don't really have to cleanse selenite because it really clears the energy around it and also negative ions in the air.
All right, great. So I love that idea about having it next to the computer for that and communications. So yeah,
Yes.
that's good. And I'd like to certainly speak about clearing crystals as well, because I had heard that about selenite, so thanks for reinforcing it. But good to charge in the moon.
Yeah, you can. You actually don't have to, but if you
Okay.
want to, of course,
Yeah,
yes.
just curious about that. What about the ocean?
I don't like to put water, especially selenite, because it crumbles.
Okay.
So selenite does disintegrate. So if you put it in water long enough, it's going to disappear. It's going to crumble out. So you have to be very careful with water and crystals. Usually quartz are fine. You can put quartz in water and it's okay. But just like some of the other stones, it could be toxic once it becomes wet. So you have to just like do your research before you wet any stone.
I have a story of taking my crystals to the beach one time. I had a whole collection. I put them out very beautifully to take in the sun. Well, I rinsed them and I was letting them dry in the sun on a towel, and a seagull came and took one of them.
No ways. Wow. Do you know which one?
I ran after him. I think it might have been a carnelian, but no, it wasn't red. It was kind of more the like a terracotta color.
Maybe like a red
No,
jasper
no,
or
no, no, no.
something.
Wait, wait, wait. I'm sorry. It's all coming back to me. It was a citrine. It was
Oh,
a citrine. Yeah, and
wow.
he dropped it. He dropped it, or she.
Because you chased after them.
Yes, I did. I'm like, give me back my
Give me
crystal.
my
Bad bird. Is that crazy? They thought they were
Yeah.
snacks, and they tried, and luckily I got it back. So that's a pretty cherished stone at this point. That seagull wanted to take it.
Blessed it.
It was up in the air. I mean, he flew with it. He dropped it from about, wow, you know, 20 feet up or something like that. Anyway, so I think we all have crystal stories, you know.
Yes.
Chime in. Anybody wants to share their crystal stories on the YouTube page, please do. We love hearing about this. So we're going to pivot a little bit, though, because you are multifaceted, pun intended. you also have a tarot card deck, correct?
Yes, I actually have one self-published, one is with Llewellyn Worldwide, and I have two more under contract.
Fabulous. So talk to us a little bit about your work with tarot and how you've decided the art that makes sense for your decks.
So the first one is Crystal Unicorn Tarot. That was like my first tarot deck that I self-published. And the reason for it was because there was no unicorn tarots and I wanted something for myself. So I'm like, I'm going to create one. And the artist is actually my best friend's best friend. So, you know, I paid her to do it. And my mentor at that time, she said, hey, you should really sell this. So I put together a crowdfunding, you know, Kickstarter, and I sold it and I did very well. And people started messaging me about how did you create a deck? Tell me what you did. How did you launch? I mean, this is like a year's worth of research for me, and there's a lot. So as an entrepreneur and coach, I'm like, hey, I need to create a course.
Right.
So
on.
Me and my business partner at that time, we did create a deck creation course. And that's actually where my second deck got birthed, Witchling Academy Tarot. I wanted to create something with the students because I love doing the same things with them, like going through the process. And it was a self-published deck. And again, my mentor at that time, she said, why don't you submit it to Llewellyn? And I was like, okay. I mean, there's nothing to lose, right? I can self-publish after. And you know, I was very lucky and they took the deck. And ever since then, you know, they're amazing to work with. I just submit my proposals or I can ask Barbara more questions about, you know, future decks. And yeah, and I think they just love my ideas.
That's
hopefully
great.
Loving them more.
Yes. No, that's really, really fun. So I don't have any visuals, so we'll just have to, you know, find you online. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the decks and how you, I mean, you can tell us as much as you'd like to about the tarot, but how do you decide? Because, you know, I've had other people, speakers on about the tarot, and for me, it's always very interesting to figure out, you know, when you're brought up with Rider-Waite and you have those iconic images, how do you deviate? And so I'm just very curious to hear everyone's different experience with creating the meaning behind a favorite card, the Magician, the Empress, you know? So what is it like for you?
Yeah, so the Witchling Academy, so all my decks are Rider-Waite clones.
Okay.
So what that means is they're very relatable to the original deck. They don't really deviate from it. Maybe a couple of cards too, but it's not so confusing that you can't, you know, you actually need the guidebook to read it. I have my Witchling Academy tarot with me. So I'd like to start with like the theme and the idea, the world first. I really wanted to create some kind of witchling wizard school. You know, I love Harry Potter. So that was like my next deck that I wanted to create it. But you know, you can't copy Harry Potter. And I was researching and it turns out my artist could only draw females. So instead of a wizard's deck, now it was, you know, a witchling deck. And so we started, so I really had to cater the deck to what she can draw. And we got really lucky because usually Llewellyn picks the artist, but I actually had her and she came in with me. And she was only 19 years old. So she was still in school and she was learning art and she just like progressed so much during these 18 months working together. So you can see, so this is her, the full. So I have some elements. I have the rose, I have the color yellow, and she's like heading off. So I like to put like these Easter
Fabulous.
Eggs in there.
Yes.
So that you still have the same symbols and they're still kind of doing what they're doing. So the sun, she's celebrating, and you know, the sunflowers, the big sun above it. So as you can see, if you were to pick up this deck, you can still, you know exactly what it is. So the hermit is a little different for her. She's in the library because library is like solitude, and but she still has that lamp, you know? And she's on a mission to search for her magic. So I like to make it really close to the main idea. So Witchling, some decks I have to research a lot. My next deck that's coming out in 2023 is Owl Tarot. Actually, it's called Tarot of the Owls. And the artist is Elizabeth Elba, who drew Everyday Witch Tarot. And I was working on another deck for like maybe 3 to 4 months. And all of a sudden, the owls were like, why aren't there any owl tarots out there? There's a crow tarot. And so I was like, okay, I'll try. And so I try to like make sure I can map out the majors first. I always work with the majors to see if I can actually create a deck with it. And if that works, I continue. So owl tarot actually took me 3 days to write out 78 card descriptions and the proposal. And I was just like, okay, I guess I'm gonna submit this. This is my next deck.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, that is so great. It sounds like you were just downloading that. It's a
That one
really
was,
good idea for a deck. It really, really is.
yeah, that one was really, and actually, Elizabeth Elba, I know her from like online. We did like giveaways together, and I did really want her to be my artist. And I was just talking, I actually shared something of hers one day, and she's like, thank you so, she messaged me, thank you so much. And I'm like, yeah, I was thinking of you too, because I just submitted a proposal and I told her about it. And I was like, I hope they contact you as an artist. And she's like, I'll be down to do it. And so I message Barb right away and I'm like, Elizabeth will be my artist. And she's like, no way. So when they came back with me for the contract, they were like, if Elizabeth is your artist, you get the contract.
Sometimes
So
that's how it works.
I'm like, done. She's in. The next deck I think is going to be super awesome is Steampunk Fairy Tarot. So this was like floating again. This is another one that was kind of like floating around for a while. I just never really worked on it. I was working on something else. And then they kept popping up, on Google and stuff. And I just like, okay, I'm gonna try this out. I did email Barbara Moore first because she does steampunk tarot, and I wanted to know if it's okay if I did steampunk fairy. And she's like, yeah, go for it. I think it'll be great. So that took me maybe 3 to 4 months to research because I really wanted, to have like the clothing right, the scenery right. So I had a lot of inspiration in like a Google Drive for the artist. And that came. So that was like really magical. That one is really fun. So
Oh,
we're in the
that's going to be
process of
great. I
creating.
would like to come
Yeah.
to the launch party for the steampunk
Yeah.
fairy tarot, please.
We should totally dress up.
That sounds like a launch party waiting to happen, okay? Now that we're gathering again. No, it's really great. So tell us where we can find you. You mentioned that you have an online crystal shop.
Yes, we do have an online crystal shop, but you can find me on Instagram, would probably be the easiest,
Okay.
at Pamela Unicorn.
Okay, that's great. And tell us a little bit more. I'm just it's funny. My producer Tony Sweet was he and I were talking about unicorns before. It's a very transcendent, magical realm. What I mean, it seems like that is, and I know in our correspondence there was always a mention of a unicorn as you signed off and things like that. So, I mean, can leave us with some unicorn magic.
So, what's really funny, when I first started on my spiritual magical path, I was always really connected to mermaids. And I don't know why, but I don't even like the beach. So I was always like, I'm a mermaid. And then one day, and this is before unicorns were like, popular. And one day the unicorn just came in and was like, no, you're like a friend of the unicorn. You're part of like our realm. And I believe that is true. So I was never a unicorn in the, I know that. I was always just like a friend or around them. And I do like to play, I play in the Akashic Records a lot. I play in like the fifth dimension or the fifth realm. realm or sixth realm, I do like to go up a lot.
Yeah.
So I have to remind myself to ground a lot. But I just feel like the unicorn energy is really like, first, it's like really regal. And so it allows you to be who you are without the judgment of others. And it allows you to just sparkle and be magical and be as colorful as you want. I've been in jobs where I couldn't have my hair this color. I couldn't have my nails done this way. Couldn't have my makeup a certain way. And that didn't feel comfortable to me because that was not my true essence. So I just think connecting to the unicorn energy is letting you be who you truly are, like your soul self, and letting yourself just be out there.
Mm, I love that. That speaks to me with what we want to do here on the show, right? Is yeah. Tools for transformation to find your truth. So I think that you're very inspiring as somebody who is very much following her path in a beautiful, successful way. You're sharing with us a few of the many, many beautiful tools that is the crystal realm. So there's so many to choose from. And I encourage you, I think we have one of your websites there, but also to head over to Instagram to find Pamela as well. And we're going to wrap there, but I really appreciate it. It was so great to talk to you and best wishes in the continuing endeavors and your book, Enchanted Crystal Magic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Thank you, everyone.
This has been Truth Be Told Transformation. I'm Bonnie Burkert. Thanks so much for watching, listening. We hope that you'll share and follow wherever you can. Next time, I will have a new episode every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, as well as Tony Sweet on Fridays at 3 p.m. and Robert Hensley on Mondays at 3. So be sure to keep an eye on us. And until the next time, be well. Stay shiny.